When we become Christians, we forfeit a self-oriented life in order to gain a Savior-oriented life.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We should understand and live by the implications of our Christian baptism. Now, that's true of every one of us who were baptized, whether it were a short time ago or years ago or decades ago. Every one of us should understand and live by the implications of our Christian baptism. Well, what are those implications? I want you to notice with me here in Colossians 3, 1 to 4, that I believe there are three elements in the message of baptism in this passage. Three elements in the message of baptism in this passage. Christian baptism is a threefold picture. It is, number one, a picture of the beginning of a new life. That's verses 1 and 2. And then it is, secondly, the picture of the end of an old life. That's verse 3. You are dead. In what sense are you dead? In principle, spiritually, judicially, theologically, you died to that old way of life. And then, thirdly, it is a picture of the hope, the promise, or the pledge of an eternally glorious life. And that life is described in verse 4. When Jesus Christ, who is our life, I hope you can say that, Jesus Christ is my life. He's all that matters to me. When Jesus Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. The glory that will attach itself to the Son of God when he descends from heaven and returns again, that glory will become mine in a very special, a very real, in a very meaningful way. My baptism is a prophetic portrait that that's going to come true because I've been saved. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, baptism is a picture. It's a threefold picture. It doesn't achieve or accomplish any of these things, but it portrays them. It is a portrait of them. A picture on the outside of that which has already occurred on the inside as a result of our personal faith in the Son of God. Number one, it's a picture of the beginning of a new life. Do you notice verses 1 and 2? If ye then be risen with Christ, he has in mind the imagery of baptism. We go down into the waters, we're raised up out of the waters, we're risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. Paul says, with privilege comes responsibility. You've been risen with Christ, and with that privilege comes responsibility. When a man or when a woman becomes a Christian, that person becomes a different person. That difference lies in the fact that he has a whole new set of values. He seeks for and sets his mind or affections upon the things which are above. He first finds them, and then he focuses upon them. He seeks for them, and then he sets his affection or his mind upon them. He first finds them, and then he focuses upon them daily in his Christian life. What does it mean to seek God? Have you ever thought about that? To seek God means to hunger and thirst after him. And it means beyond that, that we make God the chief source of our joy and our delight. So Paul says, you have a new rank. He says, you have a new rank. You're risen with Christ. You're alive. You were dead, but you're alive. And you have a new responsibility. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on those things which are above. Our baptism symbolizes this whole new way of life. It's a picture of the beginning of a new life. It's also a portrait of the end of an old life, and I won't take so long on this one, but you notice it says there in verse 3, for you are dead. He's talking to people that are very much alive, spiritually alive, physiologically alive, psychologically alive, but you are dead, and your life is hid. It's not evident to everybody, but we know you've got it. Your life is hid with Christ in God, he says, Colossians 3 in verse 3. So Paul says your baptism is a picture not only of resurrection, but also of death. And that's necessary, for there can be no resurrection of any kind until a man has experienced death. So Paul says you are dead. What's he saying? He's saying that in becoming a Christian, we make a total exchange. In becoming a Christian, we make a total exchange, a life for a life. We lose a life and we gain a life. One life dies, another life emerges, and your baptism is a picture of that. down into the waters of baptism. You're covered over with the water. One life dies. You emerge from the water. A new life emerges. It's a picture of that whole transaction. In other words, what Paul is saying is this: we forfeit when we become Christians, and this is what our baptism is a picture of. When we become Christians, we forfeit a self-oriented life in order to gain a Savior-oriented life. And I want to tell you, it's a good exchange. It brings down into our lives the richest of blessings. I tell you, this Savior-oriented life is a tremendous life. Jesus Christ never intended to impoverish anybody. He only enriches people who come to Him and trust Him. It is a wonderful life. I read in the Bible, it's eternal life, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life, John 3:15. I read in the Bible, it is abundant life. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, John 10 and verse 10. I read in the Bible, it's a resurrection life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's a resurrection life. It's the kind of life that conquers death in all of its forms. It's a resurrection life. I read in the Bible, it's a triumphant life. They which receive abundance of grace and righteousness shall reign. That's triumphant. They shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 17. I read in the Bible, it's the very life of Jesus Christ Himself shared with us. That the life of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal body. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11. There's no greater quality of life in all the world than to have the life of Jesus Christ shared with us. Our baptism is a picture of the end of an old life and the beginning of a new life. We make a total exchange. We lose a life and we gain a life. And what a life it is. And finally, there are many other things to be said here, but finally, in verse 4, it's also a picture of the hope of a glorious life to come. Do you notice when Christ, who is our life, shall appear? He's talking about the second coming of Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Our salvation is a salvation which ends in great glory. The glory which attaches itself to Jesus Christ and which will surround Him when He returns is a glory in which we will share. Our salvation ends in glory. And what is the most graphic and beautiful picture and portrait of our salvation? Our baptism. It is the promise, the pledge, the prophetic portrait of an eternally glorious life to come. Do you notice who that life belongs to? It belongs to those who can say, Jesus Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear or be made manifest with Him in glory. This is a promise which belongs to those who can say that Jesus Christ is our life. How about it, Christian? Can you say it as a Christian? Can you really say that? You know, Paul could say that. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He put that very precisely, "For to me," that is, in contradistinction perhaps from you, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That is an expression which speaks of the peak of devotion and the apex of loyalty. It means that Christians, Christ is our life. It means that Christians are consumed with the Son of God. They want nothing else. They need nothing else. All they need is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sometimes we say of a man, music is his life. Sometimes we say of a man, sport is his life. Sometimes we say of a man, his work is his life. It means that he's consumed with these things, and it means that they bring down into his life a certain level or dimension of meaning. But those things can never bring what Jesus Christ can bring. For the Christian, Jesus Christ is his life. And I want you to know something. That is what you were saying when you were baptized. You were saying, "I have died to all else. Nothing else means anything at all to me in comparison to what Jesus Christ means to me. He is primary. Everything else is secondary. He is supreme. I am consumed with the Son of God. Jesus Christ plus nothing brings into my life all that I need." You were saying that when you got baptized. Maybe we didn't know it. Maybe that's why we don't live that way sometimes. But that's what we were saying when we got baptized. And for every man who can say that, there lies out ahead of him the promise, the hope of a glorious life to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. So what's the message of baptism? In outline form, this is what it is. Baptism is a portrait of the beginning of a new life, the end of an old life, and the hope of a glorious life to come. So I want to close with this question. Have you ever been introduced to that new life? We want you to know there's nothing quite like it. It carries with it great rank. We're risen with Christ. What a tremendous thing. We were dead, now we're alive. It carries with it great rank and great responsibility, great privilege and great responsibility and great blessing. We highly recommend it to any and all. And it can become yours only when you are ready to humble yourself before Jesus Christ. This great salvation, this great life is not institutionally conferred. It doesn't come from this church or any church. Eternal life, Christ's life, salvation is not institutionally or sacramentally conferred. It is personally integrated into our lives when we open up our heart's door and receive Christ as our Savior. And we invite you to that life. Have you received this great life? If you haven't received Him, I'd urge you to do it. You ought to come to Christ. It was on a Sunday evening that I came to Christ, and God radically changed the whole of my life. He'll do it for you. But I'm going to go one step further as I close. You say, Pastor, I am a Christian. Well, that's good. Then let me ask you, Christian, let me ask you this. Have you ever been biblically baptized? Have you ever been biblically baptized? Have you ever been immersed following your conversion? You see, Jesus submitted to baptism, and Jesus commanded baptism, and the New Testament church practiced baptism, and the Apostle Paul explained baptism, Romans the 6th chapter and Colossians 3 and other places in the Bible. What greater motivation do you need? You're a Christian. Good. Thank God. You've been born again. You've received the message of the gospel. Have you ever been baptized? You need to be baptized in obedience to Christ. You say, Pastor, I have been baptized. I'm saved and I'm baptized. Good. But let me ask you one question. Have you sought to live out the implications of your baptism? Do you seek for and set your affection upon the things which are above, or are you bound by earth's horizons? If you're bound by earth's horizons, you've denied your baptism. Do you daily say no to the old ways and yes to the new ways? Paul says you're dead. You're dead to the old ways. Do you daily say no to them and yes to Christ? If not, you've betrayed your baptism. Can it be said of you and of me that Jesus Christ and nothing else is our life? Christ, who is our life. Can it be said of us, we who are Christians, who've been saved and baptized, Jesus Christ is our life. We are consumed with Him. You know, if we can't answer those probing questions properly, it may be there are some areas of our lives which we need to yield to Christ's control.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
What Jesus did for us and for all of humankind, for all of mankind, we must do in miniature for others.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.